Welcome, friends. I am Millie Tanner, and today we have Kimber Cummings with us, and I'm so glad that she has joined us. She is the college director at Grace Community Church, and she has written a wonderful book that we're going to talk about today. So welcome, Kimber.
Thank you for having me, Millie. So thrilled to be here. Good. I'm excited to share.
Great. You wrote a book recently called 20-something, The Things You Wish Someone Told You About Your 20s, From One Gal to Another.
Yes.
And I read it personally and thought it was wonderful. And I am not a 20-something. It's been several decades since I was in my 20s. But I loved it. I learned a lot. Good reminders about things. Mm-hmm. And it's just really an enjoyable read. And so we're going to get into a lot of the things you talked about in your book, just about your life as a 20-something, a single woman, navigating that, yes, and really trusting the Lord in that process.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'm excited to talk about it.
Good. Thank you. Tell us, why did you write this book?
Yes, for a couple different reasons. To be honest, I never had a goal in my life to write a book per se. However, as I write in the book, when I was approaching 30, so year 29 for me was very difficult because I felt like the transition into 30 felt so concrete and I felt really unprepared for it. So in order to help myself process, and honestly just to remember and celebrate everything that the Lord had taught me in my 20s, I started writing down stories, mostly for my own form of therapy in a way. But as I was writing, I was realizing, I think these stories need to be shared with other people. And I was kind of sharing those stories in real life with the college girls that I was walking with. And so even though I started writing for my own process, I finished writing the book for all of those women that I walk alongside, just wanting them to know that Jesus informs and transforms every area of our life. And our 20s are a really dynamic decade of discovery and identity and decisions. And I know that it can be both overwhelming and exciting. And I thought, if I can share some real life raw stories to help someone navigate that and ultimately to point them to the truth of Christ, that's why I wanted to write it and to share it.
The book is vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You share a lot of very personal stories. It's funny. It's witty. It's written well.
Thank you.
It's very enjoyable to read, but there are some real nuggets of truth in it that are sticking with me, which is why I wanted us to talk through this.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you learned about yourself in your 20s?
Oh gosh, so much. I think that's one of the great gifts of that decade, is that you get to learn so much about yourself.
That's
not
true.
Only your gifts, but your weaknesses. And we learn that through relationships. We learn that through jobs. We learn that through disappointments and seasons of delight. So I loved that about my 20s and the opportunity that it gave me just to discover who I was. But I think the core of that, and I felt like the Lord revealed this to me early on, is that self-discovery begins with discovery of Him. And as we grow in our knowledge of Him and seeking the Lord and finding out who He is, then He's faithful to show us, and this is how I've created you, and this is how, you know, this is the calling I have for your life, and this is how I want you to walk this out. So I was thankful for that, and I'm obviously still in that journey, but I'm just so grateful that He allows us to walk through both good and difficult things in that decade in order to point us to dependency on Him and our knowledge of Him, which I think leads us to better knowledge of ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's so true. That's great. Mm-hmm. You talk a lot about relationships, mm-hmm, in this book. Some funny stories about relationships and, uh-huh, some very moving stories about different relationships, whether it's friendships, dating relationships, even relationships you've had with different jobs that you've been in. Mm-hmm. One thing you say, and I think this might resonate with 20-somethings, is to date serious people.
Yes.
Can you unpack that a little bit? I thought that was very interesting.
Yes. That's a lesson I feel like I learned a little bit of the hard way. And it's an interesting dynamic because on one side, I think dating in our 20s, obviously, if you're a Christ follower, you're dating with the pursuit of marriage in mind. Sometimes as women, myself included, we take that too far too early, and it's like, okay, he asked me for coffee. Are we going to get married? You know, like, and I'm like, okay, let's slow down just a little bit. However, I also think it's wise not to waste time not dating serious people. And when I say serious people, I mean people who are, number one, serious about the Lord,
right,
and pursuing Him, are serious about the other relationships in their life. So is this person someone who is investing in meaningful relationships? Are they investing in their career and what the Lord has entrusted to them? Are they serious about serving? And are they serious about discovering what our path in dating is going to be? So, like, if it's too casual, even if my mindset is too casual, ultimately at the end of that, I'm giving emotions and time and maybe even like physicality away unknowingly, and that's taking something from both parties. And so I think if we can just be a little bit more serious about, is this person someone that I would seriously consider to marry? Not that I can't be like lighthearted in my approach to it, but if they're not serious about the Lord and not serious about discovering what's happening with the two of you together on a path, like a clear path, then we can waste a lot of time and emotion in the meantime.
Yeah, I thought that was very well said in the book. You talk a lot about making choices.
Mm-hmm.
What are the choices that you're making, being intentional about those choices? What are some of the just challenges that we face in our 20s? I mean, you there's a lot in the book.
Yes.
But pick some out that you feel like would really resonate with people as they listen today.
Yes, I feel like our 20s are a decade of choices. We are choosing who we're going to be, what we're going to do, who we're going to do those things with. You know, will I stay? Will I move? Will I transition? Will I continue? It's so many choices.
And a lot of transitions.
Yes, so many transitions. It feels like constant transition sometimes. Whether it's physical or like emotional, it's a lot of transition. But I think that I struggled with that. I prefer things to be black and white and more direct. And so even some of the choices I talked about in a few different stories in the book, like I remember when I was 28, I was faced with what felt like two really life-altering choices, particularly in my job and in a serious relationship I was in. And I was navigating those two big choices at the same time. And I thought, was just asking the Lord constantly, Lord, should I stay in this job or should I go? And should I stay in this relationship or should I go? And I wanted and was begging the Lord to make that clear. Like, Lord, just show me what to do and I will walk in it, even if it's hard. And particularly in the relationship, He did not make things as clear as I wanted Him to. In the job, it felt a little bit more clear, but in the relationship, it wasn't. And so what I learned particularly through that experience, and I'm still learning now, is that when the Lord does not make it clear through His word, which oftentimes He does, but when He doesn't, in relationship to our choices, we have to depend on His wisdom. And we have to seek wisdom and to say, you know, what is the wise choice here? What is the healthy choice here? And, you know, I write this in the book. I think that I could have stayed in that job and stayed in that relationship, and it would not have been wrong. It didn't feel disobedient because that man that I was dating, like, knew the Lord and he was serious about me. But at the end of the day, as I was seeking wisdom, both from the Lord and through wise counsel in my life, I was discovering that I was lacking peace there. And I felt like wisdom was saying, this is not wrong, but I believe that there is something better and there's something different that the Lord is leading you in. And then that was still a step of faith.
Sure.
But now, having been removed from that a couple years, I understand that like that was the best choice because it was the wisest choice at the time. And so that's going to be, I think, a common theme for so many people in their 20s is, you know, what do I do? Like, many things don't seem wrong.
When
you know?
To let go.
Yes.
I think that's part of the verbiage used in the mm-hmm. book. And there were some, if I'm tracking with the right story, there were yes. some hurts in that job.
Yes.
There were some things that you were really letting go of and some forgiveness yes. issues you were working through with things that had happened in that job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, I think that in that particular situation, the Lord was faithful to give me an opportunity to move forward, but he was also asking me to let go and to forgive and to move forward. And I think he's really faithful to meet us in those places. And I think that that's the beauty of our walk with him, is that sometimes when things are so direct, it does not require that much faith. It requires obedience, but it does not require faith. And faith is what pleases the Lord. And so I think when we're at a crossroads and we are forced to depend on him and lean on him, like, I think that he really delights in that. And he's faithful to teach us the right path.
That's good. That's a good word. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
One thing that I think all of us struggle with, but particularly teenagers and I think 20-somethings, mm-hmm. is comparison. So it's very easy because on social media, you know, all the good things that everyone is doing, to compare where you are in your 20s to where someone else is
yes.
in their 20s. And I loved that part of the book and would love for you just to give us some wisdom of what you learned about comparison. Yeah.
Yes. There was a point not that long ago when I was actually at the end of writing this book where I felt so crippled by comparison because I was trying to finish the book, make it successful, and in the process, almost trying to build a platform for myself so that the book could have further reach. And in that, it just, I felt like I was, okay, what is she doing? And how is she doing this well? What does her book launch look like? What does her platform look like? And so it was this constant comparison, and it just completely overwhelmed me and took me to this really anxious place, and sometimes still does. And so I really had to learn to surrender that to the Lord. And I think what he's teaching me the most about that, and this is a daily battle for me, is that particularly in the world of social media, we have exposure to everything, but connection to very little. Mm. And it's so dangerous in a sense because people I will never know or meet, I have been welcomed into their personal life and vice versa, but I will never know them. And I can be presented with every platform and person, and it's the best version of all those platforms and people. And so we can't help sometimes but walking away, noticing our lack. But how the Lord has encouraged me in that is, particularly when it comes to influence, you know, influencers are such a huge driving factor in what we're being exposed to on social media. And I don't think desiring influence is a bad thing by any means. I think that the Lord can use that. But I came to a point where I realized widespread influence is not my reality. And I don't have to chase it. The Lord may offer that to me one day, and he's offered that to some people to steward well. However, if influence, widespread influence is not going to be present, what I know to be present is impact.
And there's a chapter.
Yes, there's a chapter
about
that.
Influence versus impact.
Yes, influence versus impact. And so how I try to encourage myself in that is that whether or not you have widespread influence, you have been gifted people in your life to be faithful with and to impact with the truth of the gospel. And that may only be one person or two or three people. But I believe the Lord calls us to that because deep relationship is where change and transformation happens. And we see that exemplified in the life of Christ. Like, if anyone could have had widespread influence, it was him. But we see him giving his time and attention to a very small group of people and how those people then went to really change the world with the truth of Christ, because Christ chose to be impactful with a small group of people. And so how I encourage women in that specifically is like, who are the five girls in the small group that you're leading? How can you serve in your church with kids or in some capacity where you have impact with people? And know that that matters. Like, that matters. It's meaningful. Like, Christ calls us into a meaningful life, and that includes trying to impact him or those people, you know, with him through our relationship with him. So I know it can be demoralizing. I think we need more boundaries around that, and I do too. But just to remember, like, don't chase after influence with the people you don't know while neglecting connection with the people that you do know.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's going to impact a lot of people. Yes. Just you saying that. Yeah. One of the quotes that I thought was great in your book is, as you were talking about doing more, because more always knows where to begin, but never knows where to stop. And I thought that was good for me. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great way of saying it, because there's so much in our world that says you need to do more, you need to do it better, you need to do it like this other person, and there's no end to that unless we surrender that to the Lord and get his perspective on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's another danger that ties directly into social media, is because like that world is trying to capitalize on your lack. You know, it's trying to reveal, you need more of this, you need to do this better, keep chasing this. And, you know, the world is constantly calling us to more. And so I think the truth in that is that Christ and those of us that are following him, he's actually calling us to be less, like less full of ourselves, so that we can be more filled with him. And that's like the more that the people around us really need and that the world needs. It's really less of Kimber and what I have to say and even what I've learned, and it's more of, this is Christ in me and what he's revealing and the goodness of him. But yeah, it's really tricky, that particular thing in our 20s, because it's like everyone's communicating, now's the time to hustle, or you don't have the responsibility of a family, so you just need to be killing it and hustling. And that is something we have to really fight against. And it takes a lot of surrender.
And to learn that lesson well in your 20s, so that you're not learning it in your 40s and 50s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another quote that I wrote down that I thought was really good about comparison. You said, the problem is that we aren't usually satisfied with how God sees us, because we are instead preoccupied with how others view us.
Yes.
And I just thought that summed it up perfectly.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. If we could only live like satisfied with the way that he views us. I want to do that more.
Yeah.
But that's definitely takes a daily surrender and posture of knowing what Christ has already offered to us and the identity that he's already spoken to us, which is a people that are chosen and set apart and deeply loved and have been gifted a life of purpose and meaning, because we belong to him.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think one thing I see from 20-somethings is that it's really this time where they're getting to understand themselves, they're knowing themselves, they're transitioning from their families of origin into their own life.
Yes.
And that can bring up some mental health issues. What are some of the mental health issues that you see 20-somethings struggling with, or maybe that you struggled with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very revealing that we're seeing that more now than ever, you know, especially in working closely with college girls. Like, anxiety and depression is an ongoing, very consistent, widespread thing. And I've seen that grow over the years, and I've been doing college ministry for a long time. So, yeah, there's so many mental health struggles. I remember for the first time, I think my senior year in college, having an experience with depression, and I had never encountered that before. and it was not clinical depression, but it was definitely what I would have considered at the time to be a season of depression that I was walking through. And I didn't really know how to communicate it because I had never experienced it before. And looking back, I wish that I had communicated it more to my community and to wise people in my life, because it just felt debilitating. And I felt like sharing it was too much of a burden. And so I kept it very hidden. And I think I probably experienced that at least one other time in my 20s. So it's not uncommon, even if that's not a consistent issue for many people. Like, I think you guys know better than anyone that it's very common to have like a season of anxiety or depression or something to where like...
Or just discouragement.
Yes,
where things absolutely. Are not working like you want them to work or moving as quickly as you yes. want them to move.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Or you don't get a job or a relationship ends that yes. you really thought you were going to be with this person for the rest of your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And discouragement, I think, was the root of kind of what led me to a darker place, like not knowing how to process and navigate that discouragement. But yeah, it's definitely, I see it a lot, and I don't know if we're talking about it as much as we should, but I think that we should. Yeah. And I think that, you know, I encourage women all the time, like, it is not a sign of weakness to pursue professional help. Like, that is a, I think that's a wise, healthy thing to do, especially when you just don't know how to navigate it on your own, which is so many of us. We don't know right. how to navigate those things on our own. And in the same way that we pursue health in other areas of our life, we can do that with our minds. And
I think for 20-somethings now, there's very little stigma attached
yeah.
to seeking help.
That's true.
Going to counseling. Mm-hmm. That really is something that you guys struggle with very little.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. Yes, that is good. I'm yeah. thankful for that. Yeah. And people, I think, you know, they're more willing to talk about it now. And like, hey, this is what my therapist and I are walking through. Or counseling, which is really cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
So in the book, you touch on all kinds of topics. You touch on hospitality. You touch on your own, like how you view yourself physically. Mm-hmm. You touch on church, jobs, friendships, being intentional in your life, celebrating different areas of your life. So I just want to encourage, if you're a 20-something, pick up the book. Like, yes. that's, you definitely need to pick up this book. It reads easily.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun read, but there's also these moments where, you know, I'm typing into my phone these yeah. quotes because yeah. I want to remember them. So yeah. there's some really great nuggets of truth in this book.
Yes. Thank you.
It's great. What encouragement would you like to give to 20-somethings out there listening?
Yeah. Oh, man. I thank you for those kind words, and I would echo that. I hope that they do read it, just to know that I think so many of us need the encouragement that we're not alone and that we're not crazy. And there's other people who are walking a similar path and trying to navigate it with the Lord. So I think my heart behind what I do and in writing this book is that in Jesus, each one of us are so deeply loved and cared for by Him. And the Lord loves us enough to make us more like Himself. And oftentimes that includes seasons of disappointment, perhaps even grief, but also so many amazing things to celebrate His provision. And how He's walking alongside of us. And so, you know, I write at the end of the book, you know, my 20s were amazing, not because I accomplished anything particularly significant, but because I tried to walk through them with the Lord day by day. And so when I looked back, I thought, gosh, like there was a lot of hard and there was a lot of good, but I wouldn't change it. Because in all of those things, I learned more of the character of Christ. And I feel like I know how to walk now in my 30s a little bit more differently and faithfully.
I think in one part of the book you said you could really look around and tell who did the work yes. that they needed to do in their 20s.
Yes.
Who pursued the Lord in their 20s. And you can see the fruits of that as you move into your 30s.
Absolutely.
And who did that work and who didn't.
Yes, absolutely. It's very evident. And you just see them being rooted in who they are and more established and knowing that they've made some mistakes, but they're probably not going to make them again because they took the time and attention to process and to surrender and to navigate with that with the Lord. But yeah, it's very evident to me now in a different decade, knowing who is serious about stewarding their 20s well. It's just very obvious to me now,
yeah.
being in my 30s.
Yeah. So many things that we learn in our 20s. One part of the book you talked about learning to wait, and you get to choose how you wait, mm-hmm. that you don't get to choose if you wait.
Right.
But just, you know, whether it's you're celebrating something really wonderful that's happened to you, or you're in this season of waiting and being intentional about how you choose to wait,
yes.
Whether it's on something happening in your life, moving forward, or just finding, you know, what the Lord has for you in mm-hmm. that season. There's just some good things to mm-hmm. learn. And so if you're 20-something, pick up the book.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not 20-something, mm-hmm. pick up the book.
Yeah.
Because I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And it also, you know, I have teenagers that mm-hmm. will be 20-somethings
yes.
Very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And or if you're a mentor, or if you, you know, are somebody who just pours into young women, this
yes.
would be a great look into mm-hmm. the life of a 20-something.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for saying that. And yeah, I totally agree. If especially for someone who's walking consistently along young women in general, I think that the content easily lends itself to conversation and real life conversation. And but that was also my hope, is that the truths presented would, you know, transcend the decade of our 20s.
It does.
Yeah.
It
does. Good. Well, yeah. Praise the Lord for that.
So where can we get the book?
Yes. The easiest place to find it is on Amazon. You can literally just put 20-something in the search bar and it'll show up. So Amazon's the easiest place to find it, but it's also on barnesandnoble.com. If you're local here to Tyler, there's a few copies at our local Barnes & Noble that are signed. So you can go pick those up.
That's nice.
But Amazon for sure. Very simple.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here and thank you for sharing with us. I know there's going to be a lot of people who really resonate with the things that you said today. So we appreciate you.
Thanks, Millie. This was so fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Good. And as always, if we can help you in any way at Solace Counseling and Anxiety Center, we'd love to walk alongside you. Maybe you're a 20-something and you
yes.
just have some things you're navigating right
yeah.
now. We'd love to do that with you. And we do thank Grace Community Church for making this podcast available. And Kimber, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hope to see you guys around.